This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and then her fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around their door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on now to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
A crisis in faith. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus steps away from his disciples and from the crowds a total of three times to pray. The last time, the third time in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus goes out to pray, it is in the garden, that night that he was betrayed. After he had eaten the Last Supper with his disciples, after Judas had left to go and betray him, before the mob came to arrest him in the night, before he was to be crucified, Jesus prayed. The second time was at another low point in his ministry. It was after he had just been to visit his hometown of Nazareth. After he had come home and the people of his hometown, the people whom he had grown up around and had grown up with, dismissed him, rejected his ministry. He was unable to do any deeds of power there because of their lack of faith. And then he gets the news that John the Baptist, the one who had baptized him, had been beheaded. Jesus went off alone to try to pray. And now, this time, this first time that we see Jesus do this practice of sending off to go pray, he does so not at a low point in his ministry, but at the end of a glorious opening act. We're still in the first chapter of Mark, remember. We're just getting started. Jesus has been baptized, and then he immediately starts to engage in ministry. He engages in ministry and calls his disciples to him, calling Simon and Andrew and James and John. He calls his disciples, and they immediately go and follow him. Things are already off to a running start. He goes and he enters into the synagogue and he preaches and he teaches and he speaks as one with authority, and people are amazed and awed at the words that are coming from his mouth. His first go, and people are already on board. Word about him spreads even further when a man with a demon shows up and Jesus casts that demon out of him. And people are amazed at his power. And now, here at the end of that very eventful day, now he goes to Simon's house heals his mother-in-law of a fever that had kept her bedridden. And word is spreading and percolating around the city, and by sundown, when the Sabbath had ended, the whole city was there outside the front door, waiting for him. His ministry is off to a glorious start. And he needs to go off to pray. You know, we're no strangers to the crises that our faith can go through when things go wrong in our lives. That's no strange fact that when something starts to go south, that our faith and our questions and our trust in God start to get churned up inside us. When you fight with a loved one, maybe a spouse or a sister or a brother or a parent, it wrestles us up inside. When you don't get the job that you wanted or the opportunity that you were dreaming of, it makes you doubt. When you are diagnosed with a frightening disease, it makes you wonder. When a dear friend dies, your faith is thrown into crisis. When a relationship ends and suddenly someone who was a big part of your life now just is not there anymore. You wonder. When your home is flooded or your property is stolen or your car is totaled, questions pile in. We know that it's easy to question things when things are going wrong. But how often do we consider the crisis of faith that comes when everything goes right? When you're popular, when you're powerful, when your bank account is fat, when your life is comfortable, when things are going well, and things are going maybe too well. These times are just as trying for our souls, and perhaps even more so than those times of struggle. Those times of prosperity, those times when it seems like everything is going right, they move us off the mark. They threaten to, at least. They start wanting to get us to circle around the idols of our own success, like a moon locked in orbit around a lifeless planet, turning its face away from the sun. But what about Jesus now? At the end of this day, at the end of this week, at the end of this time here where everything is going right, Jesus, is he experiencing a crisis in this time? It's certainly a challenge, at least. But for Jesus, fully God, it's not a crisis of faith. Instead, Jesus, fully human, is showing us how to walk through our crises in faith. What I mean is that when our lives, which are so full of crisis and stress, especially now it seems, but when our life, which is crisis and stress, when we meet that crisis, do you meet it in faith? Do you face your struggles in faith? What does that mean to do it? Jesus shows us what that means here. He goes out, steps away from that crisis-inducing situation. In this case, a crisis of huge popularity, great success. A crisis that is a reverberation of the devil's own temptation. Jesus, don't you want to be this kind of Messiah? Now he's really being put to the question, really being put to the test. What kind of a Messiah will he be? He goes out and he spends time in prayer to meet our crisis in faith means to meet it in prayer. We talk a lot about prayer in the church as Christians. It's hard sometimes to actually carve out the spiritual discipline to spend time in prayer. We're approaching Lent here pretty soon. It will be a time to re-engage in a life and practice of prayer. I encourage you, become familiar with that life of prayer. Be willing to step away, to turn off the crisis of life for just a moment, to reconnect with God. For if you are to meet the crisis of life in faith, you'll have to meet it in prayer. And you'll also have to meet it in purpose. Those disciples that come after a significant hunt, waking up, being stunned to find Jesus not there anymore, being thrown into a panic perhaps. Where has he gone? Where has he gone? Spreading the countryside around with search parties, finding him finally in the wilderness alone, praying. They come and they say, "What are you doing? Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus' answer in that moment is a remembering of just what it is that he has set out to do. Facing a crisis in faith without having a crisis of faith means that through the crashing waves and the swooning swells that threaten to knock us off course, that you keep your eye on the locked on to the northern light, on that north star, on that guiding light, that purpose in your life. What is it that you are meant to do? What is it that is your purpose? Jesus knew that morning when they found him and they said, "What are you doing, Jesus?" He said, "I'm going. I'm going to go on to proclaim the message there. For that is what I came to do." Jesus has a message. He has a purpose. What's your purpose? If you don't know how to answer that question, take it as a sign that it's time to pray. For in prayer, in connecting with our God, we find our purpose. In connecting with our tireless and ever-working God, through that spiritual discipline of prayer, we find our purpose. And in purpose, we overcome the crisis of life in faith. Amen.
let me nestle near thee within thy downy breast, where I will find sweet comfort and peace within thy nest. Oh, close thy wings around me and keep me safely there. For I am but a newborn, and need thy tender care. Oh, wash me in the waters of Noah's cleansing. Children great and small.